This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
Sean, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
And can we insult you in any other way, Sean, this morning as we get started?
I wasn't insulting Sean, just right. Where he lives.
Right, gotcha.
Did you say trivial?
Oh, it's very trivial. Folks in the van thought they just hit a bump, and the radio just sort of had a little hiccup.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. December the 12th, 2025. That's the day you're listening to this show. We appreciate you joining us. I'm Tim Wildman, and two professors joining me in studio are for this here fine institution of learning is Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim.
I don't know if he is or are. Is the correct, I think R should be the correct verb there.
That I are? That I are Ed Vitagliano?
Well, I said professors.
Oh, I see. Oh,
and then I said one is, and then so. Bert Harper, good morning, Bert.
Good morning. Public service announcement.
Okay.
13 days to Christmas.
Oh, thank you for reminding us about that.
2 weeks from yesterday.
Wow. Yes, it is, okay. Guys. It's
just
a bonus.
Nuts.
Have you done, y'all done?
It's over.
Oh, you're shopping?
Shopping, okay. Yeah.
A little bit left.
I got to.
When they get the good thing about grandchildren after they get a certain age, all they want is cash.
Well,
that is the truth.
Yeah, that's kind of cold and unpersonal. Is impersonal, but it works.
I didn't take it that way.
Oh, you just make it easy, huh?
You bet.
Oh man. So we got a few days left here till Christmas. Allison, my wife, as most men can attest, the wives do most of the buying.
Praise the Lord.
And the wrapping and the presentation. And you get, she always says, I make you look good, don't I?
Wrapping. Did you say wrapping presents? What we've done the last 5 years, those little gift bags, it's all about the gift bags now.
Gift bags?
No wrapping.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Toss them in a gift bag.
My wife, Allison, she still wraps.
She does?
Yeah, a lot of them. Now, 1 year, we just put them all in a big bag, like a giant bag.
All wrapped presents wrapped?
Yeah, we just stuffed them all in one big bag. I mean, like
a Santa Claus bag.
A six-foot bag. I mean, it was enormous, like a big, trash bag.
Yeah.
Just stuffed them all in there, tied it at the top, and said, here you go, open it up. That way, you didn't have to wrap everything individually.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a collective.
Yeah.
All right. So it's Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. We also call this
Learning University.
Tim, Ed, and Bert. Brother J.J. Jasper's out and about somewhere else. I don't know. He's traveling or taking some time off, whatever. So we're going to play trivia today. We're going to ask three questions and have you call in and answer one of them and ask us a trivia question as well. That would be wonderful. And if you answer a mystery question, you'll hear this sound. Yes, a beloved cowbell shall ring, and all the world will know you've won yourself an AFR ball cap / farmer hat / trucker's hat. It's a slash.
It's a slash fest.
It's a nice hat, and it's free, and it's coming your way. If you hear that cowbell, and we that's it. Bert, how old you got to be to qualify here?
11 years old or older, and so I think something about how many weeks you better not.
Is this first time callers?
Yeah.
No, I think that was last week.
Anyway. All right. So everybody's eligible as long as you've waited 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
I could be wrong, but I think last week was. Anyway, here we go.
Well, you know what? You're the president of the ministry. If you want this to be. Now, we do have a bunch of folks already.
All right.
Lined
this is first time callers only today, unless you're already on the phone. And we'll figure out what we're going to do next week. First-time callers only today. 888-589-8840 is the phone number to call in to be on the show. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. I think last week was... Anyway, so first-time callers only today, unless you're already on the... you've already dialed in and got on with us, and then we'll figure out what to do next week. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, this is not about getting into heaven.
So I got
getting on the air.
That's
we
right.
We can change the rules.
It's not in the Bible. So I got to tell y'all one grandkid story real quick. Take about 60 seconds, and we all have them. And well, you know, the old, what was the old show? The kids say the darndest thing.
Yeah.
Was that who was that? Was that Ben Cros?
No, that was
Bill Cosby.
Art Linkletter.
Okay. Yep.
Seems like Bill Cosby did something.
He
along
did
those
later
lines.
On. He okay, did. He carried it on.
So I got three of Walker. My youngest son has four boys and a girl. Okay, so man, Walker and Lexi, they are celebrating their 10th anniversary. They went on a little mini trip, and so yesterday I'm Poppy.
Yeah,
I got three of the four of them, three of the four boys, and that baby girl didn't have her. Had three of the four boys in the car after school.
Right.
Okay, so I got the 3-year old Isaac, and then I got his twin brothers who are six, Samuel and Andrew.
Yeah,
got them in the car with me, so it's me and them. And so in the right in the back, Andrew, the 6-year old, and Isaac, the 3-year old, get into a verbal altercation. Okay, as brothers do, right?
Yeah.
So they're jawing back and forth, and the 3-year old's giving it. Isaac is giving it. So they're arguing about something, and finally, Isaac, the 3-year old, looks to his 6-year old Andrew, and I'm driving the car, and he goes, "I tell you what. Putting you on the naughty list." I don't think he said, "I tell you what." He just said, "I'm putting
you." I'll tell you what.
He said, "I'm putting you on the naughty list."
Yeah.
That was the end of conversation. I won this debate, and it's over. So the 6-year old Andrew, he hears his 3-year old brother say that he's putting him on the naughty list.
Oh, me.
And he goes, "You can't do that." He goes, "You're not even Santa Claus."
So at least he understood how the process is supposed to work.
But the funny thing is that totally unscripted. That just came. Like, kids say things like that, and you go,
"It comes out."
I need to write that down. But I'll forever mend that. He goes, you know, the 3-year old said, "I'll just shut this thing down. I won't put you on the naughty list."
And you know, if you believe that your little brother has that power, that's frightening.
Andrew goes,
"It would change things.
You can't do that. You're not even Santa Claus." Man! All right, is that all we got to say here before we get started?
Yeah, I think so. I think we covered the hat. Brother Bert, you're going to be taking the calls for us. But all right, so we give our questions.
Go ahead, Ed.
All right, here are my three. First question: Little Boy and Fat Man were names for what? Little Boy and Fat Man were names for what? Tim,
employees
at AFR. I don't want to hear any sarcastic comments.
That was a wrestling duo.
All right, I've been on a Fantastic Four kick. Here's the third of four questions. So next week I've got the final one in the Fantastic Four. What was the name of the character nicknamed the Human Torch? In the Fantastic Four, what was the name of the character nicknamed the Human Torch? And then third question, despite their name, seahorses are fish, not mammals. Is that true or false? Despite their name, seahorses are fish, not mammals. Is that true or false?
Okay, here's my three. The Bible question, what are the three prohibitions to a Nazirite vow? You know, there were three that were lifetimers. Others would do it just for a while. But in the Bible, there's three that were lifetime. They couldn't be a pastor because of the things that is prohibited from doing.
Things that were what?
Prohibited from doing.
Prohibited.
Prohibited. That's what prohibited. It says. Prohibited.
Okay.
No, prohibited from doing. Okay, here's the Andy Griffith Show question. What person on the Andy Griffith Show did voice work for Owl in the Winnie the Pooh, Goofy in Mickey's Christmas Carol, and was Mr. Whitaker on Adventures in Odyssey? What was the person on the Andy Griffith Show that did those? And then the third one. Christmas coming up. Here it is. In what movie was White Christmas first sung? In what movie was White Christmas first sung?
Oh, Blue Eyes.
He did sing it.
Yeah, it wasn't actually Old Blue Eyes, but
it was Bing.
Yeah, Bing Crosby.
That sang it.
Y'all tell me when y'all are done.
Well, we're done.
Okay.
The show can go on.
No, I don't want to interrupt. I get accused of that too much already. So I want to be careful about that. So my first question, I got three questions. One, this is the first one is, As winter approaches, and I would say, boy, is it. As winter approaches, what do monarch butterflies do? As winter approaches.
That's a good question.
What do monarch butterflies do? And get ready to be amazed at this answer if you don't know it already.
I don't.
Right.
I'm looking forward to being amazed.
I usually have a baby boomer question. I really don't right now, but I do have a, I guess, I don't know if you call it a gen, whatever, one of these gen questions.
Yeah.
People born in the 90s, maybe.
What, one of those groups born after us.
Yeah. After baby boomers.
Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I get them all confused. But what movie character is famous for saying, to infinity and beyond? And for a bonus, for an AFR ball cap, if you know the actor who gave voice to this character, then I'll send you an AFR ball cap. So if you know the answer to the question,
right,
that is, who made famous the expression to infinity and beyond, and who's the actor who played that role?
So you have to get both of those to get the hat.
To get the hat, yeah. And finally, we use the term AM terms AM.
How many questions is that?
Have you? Are you questioning my integrity?
Oh, no.
He wanted to interrupt.
No, I'm sorry. No, here.
I just wanted to say that. Are you questioning my integrity? What? So what's the?
No, I know how serious
a bonus question.
How seriously you take not giving away too many questions?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry. Jonathan, our producer, said you've only had two so far.
I've had two.
I miscounted.
The actor's voice question was a bonus.
Yeah. Okay.
And so my third question: we use the terms or expressions AM and PM to distinguish the time of day. What do AM and PM stand for? Okay. That's you know,
that's a good question.
62 and a half years, I didn't know the answer to this.
you were this old when you
before I learned the answer to this one. We use the term or expression AM and PM to distinguish the times of day. What do AM and PM stand for? All right, to the phones, Ed.
Okay. He passed it on to me.
Bert's going to do it.
Yeah, right, let's go to Mississippi. Heywood, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, good morning, professors. It's been a long time.
Okay.
Hey, good to talk to you, my friend. Where do you live in Mississippi?
The big city of Kosciuszko.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I remember you called a few times there on the show. We appreciate hearing from you, brother. You want to ask, answer, or both today?
I'll do both, and before we forget about it, Merry Christmas to you and all the staff.
Well,
thank you. Hey, we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Back at you. Merry Christmas to you, Heywood, there.
And, to you and yours.
Yes, that's right. So, or at least the ones you want to be having a Merry Christmas. You know, we all have family issues, I guess. Anyway, Heywood, ask, answer, or both?
I'll do both today.
Which one do you want to take a shot at here?
The fat man and little boy.
All right, little boy.
I don't think you're supposed to say it. Fat
politically incorrect
anymore, but
well,
anyway,
I didn't invent these names.
Okay,
little boy and fat man were names for what, Heywood?
The nuclear bombs that were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
That's right, the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's kind of a little bit of a deep dive now for
what was the name of
people like history. Little boy and fat man.
Yeah,
if you look at them, they look different.
Okay.
One's kind of fat, the other one's a little more slender.
You know that
smaller.
If you go to Chattanooga,
yeah,
Tennessee, there's no other Chattanooga I know of. But anyway, you can go to Fat Man Squeeze.
Yeah.
It's in a cave or something?
Well, it's
between two rocks that you slide through.
It's part of a tourist trap they got there.
Yeah. Tourist trap.
It's on what's the mountain? Lookout Mountain.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you go see Ruby Falls.
Yeah.
And Ruby's still falling, my dad said. And then you can go see Fat Man Squeeze as a part of that. As you look out over seven states on a clear day.
You can see seven states from Lookout Mountain?
Yeah, you can see the signs.
Right there, that's where they collect. They advertise Ruby Falls. You remember those, Sam, on top of barns?
For those who live in the southeast, you're giving them 500 miles of Chattanooga, those signs start popping up there. All right, Hayward, what's your question for us? Go ahead.
Okay, I have a two-part question this morning. Number one, first part of the question, what is the definition of Islam? Number two, what is the definition of taqiyya in Sharia law?
Well, the definition of Islam?
You mean what the word means?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I can answer these, I think, guys, if you want me to.
Go ahead.
Go. Well, Islam, the word means surrender. And taqiyya, I'm not sure what the actual translation of it means, but it is the Islamic allowance for Muslims to lie to unbelievers. It's a practice.
Okay, so that means they want us to submit to a bunch of liars.
Well, so, you have my vote, brother.
That, yeah. I always thought Islam meant submission or surrender.
Or submission. Good. Submission or surrender.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Haywood. Great question.
Yes, that's a good question. And next up, who's up next?
Okay, Tennessee, and it's Mary. Mary, thank you for calling.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Mary. What a name to have at Christmas.
Yeah, there you go.
Your husband, what's his name? Are you married? I just want to check this out.
He's actually passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. It's just Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and
Zechariah. You're taking a shot at it.
Thank you, Mary. Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
Both.
Okay. Which question you want to answer?
I'm going to try the one about the Nazirite vow.
Okay. It's the Bible question. What are the three prohibitions to a Nazirite vow?
I was thinking drinking, cutting hair, and being married.
And, well, you got two out of the three.
What's the question and answer real quick?
Okay. What are the three prohibitions to a Nazirite vow?
Okay.
There's three of them.
And Mary got two of them.
She got two of them. I guess I need to give the two she got. The wine, great, and then uncut hair. She said not married, but that's not the third answer. Samuel was married, you know, and he was a Nazirite for life. Samson got
married. That was a good guess, Mary.
It really was.
How did you know that?
I think we've learned it on listening to the program on the radio, not to mention reading the Bible, too.
Okay. It's there.
Yeah, maybe Bert's program in the afternoon, Bert and Alex.
Yeah, it was reminding me of something about John and his life when he was foretold to be born and that and what he wouldn't consume.
Well, there was one more. Let me give you a hint so you can get it. Samson was a Nazirite vow. Do you remember where he found the honey that he had a riddle for? Do you remember he was going somewhere and he saw an animal and honeybees were there? Do you remember what it was?
Not touch a dead carcass.
Oh, that's it. Not to go near a dead body. That's the third one. That's the third one. You could be married, but you could not go close to a dead body. That was the whole thing. And Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist were Nazirites for life. Others would take a vow for a certain time.
Yeah.
So it was a lion? Was it a lion?
A lion. It was a lion that he had killed, and he went back by it, and they had made honey out of the lion, and that's where he said, out of the strong came the sweet, and it was a good, but great work. Mary, you have your question for us?
Yes, I recently got this Bible Challenge trivia game, and there's some questions in here that are really good. I got it. It's a choice of books. I got it at my local Food City grocery store. The question is, what song did the angels sing to praise God at Jesus' birth?
What song did the angels sing to praise God at Jesus' birth?
Okay, it's a trick question in a way. The Bible doesn't say they sang.
Oh.
It said they said glory to God in the highest. But it does not use the word sing, but I don't see how you can do it without singing. That's my opinion.
You can believe that if you want to, Bert, but every church play I've ever seen since I was 3 years old has they have the angels singing. Yeah. And so,
Mary, is that what your book said?
Luke 2:14 was the correct answer.
What?
It says it was at Luke 2:14, and that is the correct answer.
Okay.
What does it say, Luke 2:14? Read it.
Do you have it, Mary?
Here the answer says, glory to God in the highest.
That's it. So that's,
okay.
That's from that location at Luke 2:14 is where it says it came from, because it tells you on these Bible challenges where all the verses are from.
Yeah. So it doesn't say anything about music
or nothing.
About right. singing. It just says glorified God.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Oh,
okay. Yeah, that
exalted.
The reason I know that, and they said, because I've been asked that, and I'd say they sang, and they said, no, read it. And,
it doesn't say sing.
It doesn't say sing, but I agree with Tim. I hadn't heard it, right. And it's hard to say it without having a little bit of rhythm in it.
Yep. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
All right, I'm going to read, what was it, Luke what now?
2:14, wasn't it?
Do you know it by heart?
No. Alex is not here. He's my reference.
Okay. All right, Luke 2:14 is a Bible verse from the Nativity story where a multitude of angels appeared to shepherds proclaiming glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Yeah, so no, nothing about music necessarily.
Right.
But it was a multitude of angels, not just one or two like that's in Chris. Right. Hard to get a whole multitude out there in a play.
You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed, and Brother Bert Harper's filling in for JJ today. I tell you what, does it matter whether we take our break a little early here? Does it matter? I don't think it matters. So we're going to take our break a little early, about a minute or so early, because rather than get into a call and then have to put somebody on hold. So let's go to our break.
When we come back, we'll reset our questions.
Okay.
I've had one answered. You've had
one
answered.
I've had one answered.
We'll toss some additional ones in.
Let's do it. All right. We shall return momentarily with more of Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Don't go anywhere.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I'm just one man, he said, excusing himself. What can I do about all of this? You know, I thought about his philosophy, and the more I thought about it, the more I pitied him. I'm just one man, just one man, just one. It was an easy way for him to excuse himself. Because he was like every other person ever born. Just one person. He thought that he'd been shortchanged. He considered himself ineffective because he was only one person. Suppose everyone should take his attitude. It would be a real tragedy, wouldn't it? Well, fact about the matter is that too many have taken that attitude. That's the reason we need to take a look at history a little. Martin Luther was just one person. But he was one person who called the church to repentance and changed the face of the whole world. When he hung those 95 theses on that little All Saints church door in obscure Wittenberg on October the 31st, 1517, he had no idea they could or would change the course of literally millions of people. But he was doing what he, one person, could to cure what he considered to be a great wrong. Russell Conwell was one man with one speech which he called Acres of Diamonds, and in which he told about finding treasures where you are. He gave that speech more than 6,000 times, and yet that one man, with that one speech, founded what today is Temple University, and literally put thousands of youngsters through college. Florence Nightingale was just one person. At the age of 17, she heard the voice of God calling her into the nursing profession, a profession made up at that time of drunks and prostitutes. She faced the greatest opposition to her calling from within her own family, and her decision to follow her dream caused a great split in their relationship. But because of her dedicated decision, she made the field of nursing one with a high and holy calling and one widely respected. Gandhi was just one person with a great dream that freedom could be won for his beloved India without the use of violence. He was one person who believed that the most powerful weapon one has for fighting wrong were a just cause and lots of love. And he was right. There was still another who was just one person against the whole world, one person rejected, mistreated, misunderstood, hated, and crucified. But not once did he excuse himself from some task, even a cross, because he was just one person. He never murmured, never whimpered, never refused to try because he was just one person. And today, millions have found salvation through that one person. His name, of course, is Jesus of Nazareth. I'm just one person, you say. Well, my friend, that's all it takes to change the world and to make it a better place in which to live. Don't you think it's about time you got busy?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God and an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1.
American Family Radio.
What are we listening to there, Bert?
Little Rascals. They had another name before that. What was it?
I thought that was a Michael Jackson song.
He did a cover.
Oh. That is from the Little Rascals, but they
right
had a name before that?
But
they did have Spanky the Gang. Was it Spanky and the Gang?
Something like that,
Little
yeah.
Rascals want to be defeated.
You're like a human jukebox.
Everything has a song, right?
Yeah.
Everything.
All right, Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Bert, we thank you for listening. We're going to reset our questions and go back to the phones here. We're here every Friday with Edumacation and providing you. Ed, what is our motto here again?
Well, it's our mission statement.
Our mission statement.
Here at Learning University, we aim to make you, our students,
yes,
smarter,
betterer,
and awesomer.
And awesomer.
And we do that. Well,
we
accomplish that task every single Friday.
I agree, Ed. All right, Professor Ed. Go ahead, Professor Bert.
Here are my three questions.
Ed,
I'm going to add one. I've had one answered.
Okay.
So in the Fantastic Four, what was the name of the character nicknamed the Human Torch? Second question. Despite their name, seahorses are fish, not mammals. Is that true or false?
Wow.
And here is a math question. All right. I rarely do math questions because I'm so bad at it. But here's the question. 12 is what percent of 48? 12 is what percent of 48?
I know that immediately.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Is it easy?
Man, I made you
laugh.
Bert didn't say that. I said that. I said I know that immediately.
Okay.
But Bert may. He may. But
yeah, he claimed it. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, mine. I had one answered. I'll add one. Here's the Andy Griffith Show. What person on the Andy Griffith Show did voice work for Al in Winnie the Pooh, Goofy in Mickey's Christmas Carol, and Mr. Whitaker on Adventures in Odyssey? What character on the Andy Griffith Show did that? In what movie was White Christmas first sung? What movie was White Christmas first sung? And here's the other one. I love To Kill a Mockingbird. It's one of the great. It's good book, good movie.
Yeah.
A lot of times they go down. It did not. In which town is the book To Kill a Mockingbird set? What is the name of the town where they lived in To Kill a Mockingbird?
All right, my three questions. First one is this. As winter approaches, what do monarch butterflies do? This is one of the most amazing stories of nature you will hear. Number two, what movie character made famous this expression, to infinity and beyond? And then as a bonus, if you know the actor who gave voice to this character, then we will send you an AFR ball cap. All right. And finally, we use the expressions AM and PM all the time to distinguish the time of day. What do AM and PM stand for?
Good questions. Okay.
They come from Latin words, by the way. A&M, I'll just tell you that much. But what's the English translation? That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, Michael in Kansas. Thank you for calling, Michael.
Hi, I want to do the Buzz Lightyear one.
Okay, Michael, how you doing, my friend?
I'm at that the Infinity and Beyond one.
Okay. Where do you live, Michael, there in Kansas?
Ottawa.
Okay. All right, here's the question you're going to answer, which you've already answered, but I'll state it again. All right, Michael, the question is, what movie character says to infinity and beyond? What's the name of that character?
Buzz Lightyear.
Yes, you got it right, Buzz Lightyear. Right. Hold on, Michael, let me ask the other question and you can answer it. The other question is, do you know the name of the character who plays, do you know the name of the actor who gives voice to that character?
Well, I got two people. Where is it? I think Tim Allen in Toy Story and Chris Evans in Lightyear.
Okay, the voice I have, Tim Allen's really the one. You got it right?
Yeah, you got it.
Tim Allen was really the one who made famous Buzz Lightyear and that voice. He and Disney got into some kind of argument and they took him out of the next last movie.
The live action version, I think it was.
Okay. But anyway, the answer is Buzz Lightyear and Tim Allen. Way to go.
Way to go, Michael.
And we'll send you an AFR ball cap. Michael, is that a good deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have a question for us?
Here's since you guys done weirdest crimes question and true and false stuff. Is this true or false? In North Dakota, this woman crashes her ex-boyfriend's funeral and spray paint black face on Jesus statue.
Well, that sounds crazy enough to be true. I mean,
who would think of that much detail without it being true?
Right. Yeah, we'll say true, Michael.
That is 100% true.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a terrible thing to do.
You didn't know the person, did you, Michael?
No.
Okay.
They gave me the name on the website.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, we're going to put you on hold, and then Cindy Roberts will get your information.
You'll hear some elevator music, Michael, and then we'll ask you whether you want it in English or Spanish, okay? And then we'll take your call.
That's right. Yeah,
Cindy's our phone receptionist. She's going to take the address from Michael so that we can send him the ball cap there.
Way to go, Michael.
All right, who's next, Bert?
We're in Michigan, and it's Jim. Jim, thank you for calling.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Hey, Brother Jim.
Is it cold in Michigan? Yes. I just got to ask, Jim.
Good question, Bert.
If you say no, I'll be surprised.
It's cold.
Okay.
I identify with Tim.
You don't like cold?
I identify with Tim because I'm a PK, I like golf, and my wife's a gardener.
Well, wow.
All right. There you go.
There you go.
Now, my wife, Allison, is not a gardener per se, but she's a lawn keeper extraordinaire.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked with her for, you know, training her.
For, yeah, for, sure.
I mean, for,
sure you've
for
trained
several
her.
Years, and she's one of my best students. That's all I got to say. No, we're there. We're there, brother. We're kindred spirits, Jim.
Very good.
Okay, Jim, you want to answer, ask, or both?
Bert, I'll just tell you, I'm going to do both. But, Bert, I want to tell you that my grandchildren are Anna, Elizabeth, and Simeon.
Way to go, man. Y'all celebrate Christmas really well. That's great. Amen. I love Christmas names, Jim. Best time of the year. That'd make a good song, guys.
Yeah, we thought about naming one of our sons. Of the year. We thought about naming one of our sons Ebenezer, but we stuck with Wesley.
I'm sure Wesley appreciates that.
We figured, it might be hard to get a date. Who are you going out with Friday night?
Ebenezer.
Going out with Ebenezer.
Yeah, that's when you get a nickname and stick with it.
Right.
Hey, so, Jim, which question do you want to answer?
Let's try the Andy Griffin question.
Okay, here it is. What person on the Andy Griffith Show did voice work for Owl in Winnie the Pooh, Goofy in Mickey's Christmas Carol, and Mr. Whitaker on Adventures in Odyssey?
All I know him as the drunk in the jail.
That's it. Otis Campbell. His real name is Al Smith. Believe it or not.
Hal Smith. The actor's name?
Yeah, Hal Smith. And he played the drunk.
Hal or Al?
Hal Smith, and he did not drink. He was a teetotaler, but he could play the drunk on the Andy Griffith Show.
He did it well, too.
He did it well. But then he went out to Colorado Springs and worked with Focus and became Adventures.
He was a Christian, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And way to go. Do you like Andy Griffith Jim?
Yes. Still good stuff.
Okay. Well, you have a question for us, brother?
Yes. And keeping with the theme of Christmas, Christmas is about what? Oh, it's a birthday. The problem is, in the Bible, birthday is only found two times. One in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. Name the two people who had birthdays in the Bible, and I'll give you a clue. At both their birthday parties, somebody lost their head.
Okay, well, we're going to talk amongst ourselves.
I've never seen that happen at a birthday party. Have y'all?
No.
I've seen people lose their minds, but never
their head
lopped off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Okay, so we're going to talk amongst ourselves, Jim. All right, guys. One of them has to be, is it John the Baptist?
John the Baptist lost his head.
I didn't know that Salome, was that her for her birthday?
Daughter was dancing, and what could you do for me? Have John the Baptist head.
Was that her birthday?
No, it was Herod's birthday. Herod danced for her. She danced for him, I think it was.
Okay.
What did she have against John the Baptist?
Her mother, because he proclaimed that they were living in an adulterous relationship.
I got you.
She didn't like that at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was him.
But now, in the Old Testament, who was beheaded? I'm trying to remember anybody who was...
Is the Old Testament person beheaded as well, or is that just the New Testament, Jim?
It's questionable about beheading, but somebody died.
Okay, on their about their birthday in the Old Testament.
All right, so let me ask you this. Who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar with the handwriting on the wall?
Belshazzar?
Was that a birthday celebration? Because that night, the Persians broke into the city, and I think he was killed.
Okay, that sounds great. I can't guarantee it.
I can't either.
Is that correct, Jim?
No.
Okay. Give us what it is. Who is it?
It's the other leader. There was the guy Herod in the New Testament. It was Pharaoh, Genesis 40, and it was the baker that got knocked off.
Okay.
All right.
I got you. Okay.
On his birthday?
Both of them were on birthday parties.
Okay.
Wow. Very interesting. And the only two in the Bible.
What happened at the birthday party tonight, honey?
Nothing much, except
you should have been there.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
It was a bloody mess.
Hey, oh, Jim, thank you, and try to stay warm up there in Michigan,
impossible.
Brother.
All you got to do is stay inside.
Yeah,
stay in your car. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Bert, we thank you for listening. In all seriousness, the weather for probably a third of the country at least is going to get so severe in the next 4 or 5 days that they're saying it's dangerous for human life and for animals.
It's in that northern SWAT up there where the Canadian air comes down and it hits. I forgot how far east it's going. So,
freeze warnings are as far as South Georgia.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to dip down. But anyway, it's going to be really severe in the Midwest and the Northeast.
We've got some pretty low lows for our part of the country.
17 on Sunday night.
That's it.
So, and I'm not going camping.
Not going to play any golf?
No.
Stay in.
A frozen statue out there. All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday, Tim, Ed, and Bert. We go back to the phones, guys.
Okay, let's go to Texas, and it's Michael, a first-time caller. Michael, thank you for calling.
Is that me?
That's you, brother. What part of Texas you live, Michael?
I live in Longview, but I'm close to Shreveport and Dallas. I'm in between the two.
Okay, well, fantastic. Well,
between Shreveport and Dallas, is that like Tyler or...
Yeah, exactly. You're right there. It's right next to Tyler.
I got you. Well,
beautiful town.
Absolutely. All right, go ahead, Michael. Ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
What percentage is 12 of 48?
All right, here's the question for those just tuning in. 12 is what percent of 48, Michael?
25%.
Woo,
way to go.
You know, that's one of those questions, either you know it or you don't. There's no like going, I knew that, but I can't, what I'm saying?
I couldn't tip of my tongue.
25% goes 12, 24, 36, 48, right?
Right.
Got my multiplication tables right.
You were right on it, man.
In math, people, it's percentages and decimal points. Where do we put them, you know?
The multiplication table's still... I can still see them and remember them. And then also I learned to count by touchdowns.
touchdowns.
7, 14, 21, 28, 35. If you're a football fan, you learn to count by touchdowns.
And as a Mississippi State fan, you learned that
we don't need to go there.
Keeping up with how
no point
the other team was scoring.
I'm talking football general. You could say
Notre Dame doesn't get invited.
Bert, way to give it back to him. All right.
What do we got here? That's going to turn ugly there.
Hey, Michael, what's your question for us?
Yeah, it's a two-part question. The first part is mother, father, daughter, sons, titles, or names?
What now?
Mother, father.
Mother, father, daughter, son. Are those titles or names?
Oh.
I think they're titles.
Yeah, I think they're
exactly
titles.
They're titles.
I wanted to clarify that. Everybody believes they're not. A name is a pronoun. You know what I mean? You got a name and a noun and a pronoun. But anyway, So the question is this. You know, the scriptures of no private interpretation. And scripture interprets scripture. So where is the scripture that interprets Matthew 28:19?
Well, okay, so
therefore baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So we established that.
Okay,
Father and
the name
the
in the New Testament is authority. It's not just a name where, hey, Joe. No, it's authority.
Right. But that's what it means. A scripture that interprets that scripture that gives it to us, because Peter had the revelation. So there's a revelation in scripture that tells us what that's, because nobody ever baptized using Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They always use another name, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So where is that in the scripture?
Well,
you see what I mean?
Michael, Jesus, those are red letters. Jesus is the one that said baptize in those names, and it gives credit. Listen, God the Father loved us so much, he sent his Son. Jesus loved us so much that he would die for us. and you're not saved apart from the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that baptism, if you were baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, it would be just as sufficient as anything. So praise the Lord for God's complete salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Okay. Ready to go to the next one, Tim?
Let's give our questions one more time real quickly.
All right. And I've had two answered. So I think I will put a third one in since we've got 40 minutes left. All right. The two I have originally remaining. In the Fantastic Four, what was the name of the character nicknamed the Human Torch? What was the actual character's name? Second question, despite their name, seahorses are fish, not mammals. Is that true or false? And then, so I gave a math question. I'm going to give a finance question. Okay. In finance, what does IPO stand for? In finance, what does IPO stand for? That's what I've got.
Okay, here's mine. In what movie was White Christmas first sung? In what movie was White Christmas first sung? In which town is the book To Kill a Mockingbird set? What was the name of the town where this took place? And I'll add one as well, and it's real good. I love this one. How long was the 100 Years' War? How long was the 100 Years' War? Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My two questions I've gotten. One is from the world of science or animal science. As winter approaches, what do monarch butterflies do? This is fascinating. As winter approaches, what do monarch butterflies do? Number two, we use AM and PM to distinguish the time of day. What do AM and PM stand for? What do they stand for? The expressions are in Latin originally, but the English translations is what I'm looking for. Okay, what AM and PM, what do they mean? All right, is that clear?
That's clear.
Absolutely.
Back to the phones, Bert.
Texas, and it's Thomas. Thomas, thank you for calling today.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead. Do you want to answer, ask, or both? Or first of all,
both, please.
Yeah, what part of Texas are you calling from, Thomas? Need to ask you that. First time caller.
Well, right now I'm in Bonham, but I live in Telephone.
Telephone?
Phone, Texas. Okay.
Is that for real? Telephone?
That's for real. We were the first place to have a telephone way back then. Everyone traveled to use our phone.
Huh.
Right. It's also where I think General Custer was from.
General
Custer. Actually, we're close to Lake Crockett.
Right, and Davy Crockett.
which is named after Davy Crockett.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, well, you're right on it.
You thought I was just making that up?
Yes, I did.
Oh, no. He went into North Shannon County to look for a homestead after the war.
All right. Wow. What a history. Okay.
He and Custer used to play poker together right there. On the square.
Yeah, man. I've heard that.
Talk about the old times.
Hey, Thomas, you want to answer or ask or both?
Both, please. The question about the monarch butterfly.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, I want to know the answer to this.
Okay, I'm talking to Thomas in Texas, and he's about to answer this question. As winter approaches, what do monarch butterflies do?
Migrate south.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And a long way south.
That's a simple answer to a very extraordinary question. I mean, answer. Do you know any more about that than migrate south? That is correct. I'm giving you credit for that. But do you know any more about that?
No, I just learned that few weeks ago off someone that had a monarch butterfly in their chrysalis, and she was talking about them as we watched them come out and watch their wings unfold, and she said she releases them in the fall when she finds them outside, brings them in and helps them because people mow their lawns.
And this is a beautiful, this is like a beautiful poem. You got or a song. She I was with her and she released her butterflies and
helps the monarch butterflies
right
find their way home.
All right, so here's the answer. The backstory. He's going to take me about 45 seconds, but it's worth the read. The annual migration of North America's monarch butterfly is a unique and amazing phenomenon. The monarch is the only butterfly known to make a two-way migration, just like birds. Unlike other butterflies that can overwinter as larvae, pupae, or even adults, in some species, monarchs cannot survive the cold winters of northern climates. So these monarch butterflies, they live as far as Canada, even. But it comes sometime now or maybe a month, sometime in the fall, they know winter's coming and they cannot survive it. And they migrate by the millions to Mexico, and some go to California.
Wow.
But they... Look at this. Look at this. They travel thousands of miles, like 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 miles, 3,000 miles anyway, in a certain pattern every year.
And then they go back.
And then they go back.
They go back.
And you tell me there's no God.
I know. That's incredible.
Here's the question. Only God. That's when you hear something like that.
Can make a creature that can do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh? That's amazing.
And know in advance that it's going to die if it stays put.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so anyway, pretty...
Well, and you can tell when migration happens.
Yeah.
Look at the front of semis.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them sadly don't make
out,
it.
Truck stop and fuel out.
They don't,
fuel
they
up,
don't make it.
And in front of my grill, it's covered.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that visual. We were just thinking about little sweet butterflies there. Next thing you know, Thomas has got them plastered up against the grill of his truck.
Rolling down the highway, killing all the monarchs.
Right, but yeah, I guess it's this time of year, or maybe a little bit sooner, but they go all the way from Canada to Mexico. Just amazing. All right. That's the answer.
Yeah, October and November, there's tons of monarchs in North Texas.
Okay.
And, you know, it's amazing just to think of geese doing it.
But
at least they've got
no
brains.
Butterflies.
But butterflies, you just think,
right.
How in the
Nobody
world?
Nobody tells those butterflies for the first time what they're about to do.
Right.
I don't. You know, in Canada, they don't go, hey, we're going 3,000
miles. Hey, where's everybody going?
Right. I'm following
Follow
them.
Me, boys.
Follow me, boys. All right, so there you go. Read about it, folks. It's absolutely fascinating, the monarch butterfly. All right, Thomas, go ahead, fire away.
Possibly a two-part question.
Okay.
What does the Treasure Island and Sherlock Holmes have in common?
Treasure Island and Sherlock Holmes? They're not the same writer, is it?
Stevenson.
Author.
What?
Robert what Stevenson?
Robert Louis Stevenson.
Did he write both of them?
Did he write?
I'll give you a hint. Two different authors.
Okay, but they got something in common. Ooh, this is interesting. Treasure Island, and what was the other one?
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes.
I think Sherlock Holmes discovered Treasure Island.
He was hot on the case.
Hey, I have no idea.
I wouldn't even know where to guess. Start guessing.
Okay, right. So the author of Treasure Island was Stevens, and he was in school to be a lawyer. The author of Sherlock Holmes was Doyle. He was in school to be a doctor. Both went to the same university. Do you know what university?
Oxford?
Yeah, I have no idea. We're against
Edinburgh.
The break here. Go ahead and tell us, Thomas.
Edinburgh,
Scotland?
University of Edinburgh.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. So they both dropped out
and then
and became right.
Right.
Or they
invented golf. in Scotland. All right. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it. Sorry to rush you off there, brother. We're out of time for this half hour. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of Learning University on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.